hockey books, it's about the numbers and who did this and who shot this. And for the first time, I felt like I was on the ice with people. Does that make sense?
It really does, and that was my objective. And the premise of wanting to write a book, Craig, was over my 30 seasons. I was a high-profile individual in terms of officiating. I didn't wear a helmet. I had the good hair. People recognized me. And there was times when I had to make the tough call, and controversy resulted. So I had a lot of high-profile plays and calls over the course of my career. People recognized me. After a game, I'd walk into an establishment with my colleagues to eat, grab a drink, and I would see the stares from people and the whispers and the conversation and sometimes scowls. Being kind of a people person, rather than avoid it or walk away, I would come up and introduce myself to those that were obviously looking at me with some disgust at times. And I was engaging. I said, obviously you have a question, can I answer your questions? And whatever that specific question was that they had, and I answered, it ultimately, the conversation led to bringing them to the ice. Tell me what you said to Glenn Sather. Tell me what Gretzky said to you. Tell me what Rick Vive said. So, or Wendell Clark, or their favorite player. They wanted to know what took place on the ice in the game. And I thought, you know what? That's all people really want to know. They buy a ticket. The best can get them is one row behind the glass, but they're separated by the glass to the play, to the ice, to their heroes. So it was important that when I wrote this book, that I write it with emotion, that I bring them to my ice, the game, and that they got to see and catch a glimpse of what it's really like down there from my side of the glass and not theirs, where they desired to be.
Talk about game face, and the players have, you know, an aggressive face on. But refs, you have to have this blank mask.
Well, Craig, I'll be honest with you. My jaw dropped many nights when I was following close behind Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, Guy Lafleur, Marc Messier, you name it, all those guys that were so skilled. And I was a fan, but I could do two things at once. I could watch the play, and I could also appreciate the tremendous skill that they demonstrated time and time again. You know, there was many times where you talk about emotion. The game is emotional. Players have to play with emotion. Coaches have emotion. And the referee is supposed to be calm and neutral. Oftentimes you can be drawn into a battle and a confrontation. You know, if you're yelling at me and it's a confrontational situation, my choice is to fight back, to cower, to run away. That's not going to happen. But I have to bring a calmness to that discussion that we might have that doesn't start out as a discussion. It starts from a player's perspective as a yelling match. I've got to bring the temperature down. And I ran into Brian Murray the other night at the Leaf game. Brian, general manager, of course, with Ottawa. He was coaching the Washington Capitals when I started and was an emotional coach. And he was getting all kinds of bench penalties. He would stand up on the bench and the boards and wave his arms and flap and scream and spit and ultimately would get bench penalties. So I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. One night in the Cap Center, he got up on the boards, was complaining and screaming at me. So I thought, I'm going to develop a relationship with this guy. Find a better way. Bench penalties don't work. So I skated up to him with my palms open. If I point my finger at you, that's antagonistic. If I put my fists and clench them, that's confrontational. Open palms is peace. It's, we need to talk. And my voice, while he was high octave and high flying emotion, I calmly, in a monotone voice, said, Brian, with open palms, I'd love to talk to you, but you're going to have to get off the bench, please, and we'll have a conversation. Well, his level of emotion came right down to my level of voice inflection. He got down, he said, okay, Kerry, get off the bench. I said, now you may not agree with what I am about to tell you and the reason I made the call, but this is why I made the call. This is what I saw. He listened. He politely said, you're right. I don't agree with what you just said, but thank you very much for coming over and explaining it to me. That instance set the framework for our relationship from that point forward.
Quick note, the hair. What's with the hair?
Well, you know, I've had different hairdos, but when I first came in for a long time, I had the beetle cut look. And, you know, it hung straight. My hair is like limp and hangs straight, and I've got cowlicks all over the place. So I just let it hang and, you know, keep it off the ears. Well, my wife, Kathy, said, listen, you got to change. This beetle look thing is long overdue for a remake. So we went to Florida, and she, during a break in the season one year, for an event, All-Star or something, and we ran into Mike Keenan there and Dave Brown and their wives, and Kathy took me into a salon and said, we want to do a changeover here. So it ended up being blown back. Well, my first game back in Madison Square Garden, the house lights were down, and the Islanders were playing the Rangers. And Pat Price was playing defense for the New York Islanders. Well, with the house lights down, the players all came on and couldn't see anybody, and all of a sudden up came the house lights, and I saw Price look at me like I had two heads. He did a double take and was confused as to, who is this guy? He skated over me. He says, holy cow, he said, I didn't even recognize your phrase. He said, what'd you do, ride over in a convertible? The hair was blown back. So that was the changeover, and it just sort of, I trained it, and it ultimately became my mojo, my mantra. Until they covered it up with a helmet, which they covered the National Treasure.
The book is The Final Call, Hockey Stories from a Legend in Stripes. I've been speaking with the author and man with the nicest hair in the NHL, Cary Fraser. And Cary Fraser's The Final Call, published by Fenn, McClelland, and Stewart.